Father, we just welcome you here. We're glad you welcome us here. Lord, we need you so much. We can't do anything without you. We don't want to do anything other than what you're doing. God, we lay down our lives before you, and we just ask that you would please search us. Search us, Lord, and reveal anything that would block us from hearing you today, from walking with you today. Lord, we desire that our lives would be at one with you, and there's things we're blind to. So please open our eyes, open our hearts. We want to be transformed into the image of Christ. Lord, that can't just be words. It has to be serious to us. We have to mean it. Lord, I ask for your anointing to come as we speak your word, and I ask for your anointing to come upon those listening, that you would bind every spirit that would block your word, and that you would give us understanding and revelation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 23. We're going to start in the middle and then go back. So Jeremiah 23, verse 18. That is not the right place. Oh, man. Why is my pain perpetual? That's the one I must be in the wrong chapter. I had it down as a verse 19, but verse 18? Did I just get on the wrong verse maybe? No. Oh, boy. You got it? 15:18. Oh, my goodness. I might have to have you keep finding if I'm in the whole wrong chapter. Okay, Jeremiah 15:18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? This person is saying, I'm not getting my healing. I'm still in pain. Why am I continually, perpetually still in my pain? Why don't I get healed? Why am I not getting healed? God, it's you told me you want to heal me, but it's almost like you lied to me. It's like you deceived me. It's like, if you want to heal me and I want to be healed, and I say I'm here and I'm willing to be healed, it's sort of like you're lying to me, God. Why am I not getting healed? He said, it is as though you're a liar to me. And then he says, as waters that fail, I am not getting my thirst quenched when I drink from you, Lord. Why am I not getting my thirst quenched? Why? I don't feel like I can trust you because you're not doing what you said. You're not doing what I came here to get. I'm not getting my healing. Why not? Why am I not getting my healing? In verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord, here's his answer. If you return, then will I bring you again, and you shall stand before me. And if you will take forth the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. You want to be the mouth? You want to be like the mouth of the Lord? Do you want to speak for him? Do you want to carry his words? He says, then return to me. I don't know what you're supposed to return from. I just know this is what he told me to read this morning. So I'm not sure what you're supposed to return from. I wondered when he said, let them return to you, but don't you return to them. I don't know what that means for you either. Are there people in places you keep returning to that you shouldn't? Maybe there's people that you love and you want to go hang out with, but they're bad for you. And he said, don't go back to them. Let them come where you are into God. Don't go back where they are. Let them come where you are in God. Don't hang out with the people who don't love the Lord because it's contagious.
Exactly.
Don't hang out with liars. Don't hang out with angry people. Because it says, go not with an angry man, lest you learn his ways. If you hang out with drunks, you're going to end up drinking. You hang out with people that are mean, you're going to get mean. You hang out with, I'm not talking about people that come to you and bring that into your life and you have no choice. You don't have a choice. I'm talking about who you make your friends, your intimate friends. Don't go back to that lifestyle. Live in a new way. Bring them out of it to come to where you are. Don't return to their lifestyle. 15, and that's 18 and 19. And God said in verse 20, and I will make you unto this people a fenced, brazen wall, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you, saith the Lord. And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the hand of the terrible. The wicked, the terrible, is actually evil spirits. They're invisible, right. But they come at you through people.
Right.
They attack you through people. They entice you through people. So that's what they do. Now, I want to go back where I thought we were supposed to be in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. I'm going to have to fix that in my notes because I got in the wrong place there. No, not yet. I'll get it later. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word, who hath marked his word and heard it? God is speaking here through Jeremiah, and he's about to speak against prophets. Against prophets who are prophesying, but not the word of the Lord. So a lot of people may be standing up and preaching and prophesying, but if they are not standing in the counsel of the Lord, they're preaching from their own mind, from their own heart, from their own understanding, from their own dreams, but maybe not from God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury like a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The prophets have been saying, peace, 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 peace. And God said, they're lying to you. Peace is not coming to the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. You will understand it later. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. If you want to speak the words of God, you have got to stand in the presence of God and know what he is saying. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Some people today that claim to be prophets and preachers, and maybe they are, but they're just not standing in the counsel of the Lord, they want everybody to be happy. They want everybody to feel good. They want everybody to know the love of God. We want you to know the love of God. But to know the love of God, you have to get the evil out of your life. You have to repent. You have to walk away from things that keep you from God. I mean, we get up in the morning and say, I want to walk with God. And then we go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours and don't even think about God again. So what are we getting more influence from? How much, if we really want to be a spokesman for God, are we standing in his presence? Are we hearing his counsel? Are we knowing his heart? Because he does love. He does love. But he also will not overlook people choosing sin. He won't overlook it. He wants to deal with it and set them free from it. He wants to get them free. So a prophet who's a real prophet, and a prophet is a messenger of God. If they're truly bringing you a message from God, it should be to get you away from evil so you can come near to God. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord. I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. And they think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. So that prophet that has a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that has my word, let him speak my word. He that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Is not his word like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? We've been talking about his word being able to divide soul and spirit. But his word is like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. When you break a rock in pieces, you see all that's within that rock. You see little lines and designs and specks and colors and all kinds of things. If you drive through Tennessee where they split those mountain rocks open, isn't it beautiful? All the colors and the lines, and I mean, it's just awesome. It almost looks like somebody poured glitter in there, you know, with some of the shine. So breaking a rock open exposes everything that formed that rock. So God wants to break open some rocks in our lives. And they may not have pretty shiny glitter. They may be formed of things that are not so pretty. But the Lord wants to break those rocks open. Look at Jeremiah 10:1. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the Lord, which the Lord speaks. I'm sorry, I'm saying it all wrong. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. He's talking to his own people. Hear the word that the Lord is speaking to you, burning bush. To you, America. To you. Put your own name. Will you hear what God is saying to you, Sue, Harvey, Steve? Put your own name in there. Hear the word that he speaks personally to you. You have to spend some time with him to hear those words. Look at verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. God is the true God. He is a living God. He's alive. He is speaking to you through this word, but it's alive. It didn't just mean something 2,000 years ago. It is alive, and if you let God speak directly to you, his living word will change your heart. It will change your thinking. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. We want to let the hammer of God's word break the rocks that are hardening our hearts, because that's why we're not getting our healing. There is something, if you're not getting your healing, if you're not getting your pain removed, if you're not getting delivered, if you're not getting a breakthrough, it's because you need to break some rocks. So we're going to break some rocks. Jackson helped me make some rocks. Lightweight rocks, yes, but they're rocks nonetheless. So we're going to play with hammers again today, not the gavel because we're not in court, just a hammer. One rock that we need to break, let's find ourselves a rock here we can break. These are going to be easy rocks to break because they're only paper. One is disobedience. Look at Jeremiah 11:3-7. And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all that I command you, and so shall you be my people, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, So be it, O Lord. And the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting and saying, obey my voice. We have a rock of disobedience. Even when we read the word, if we don't do the word, God comes to you personally and he tells you things he wants you to do. If you don't do it, you have a rock of disobedience and you need to break the rock of disobedience. Good. Nobody's going to sleep today. We need to break that rock of disobedience, okay? In Micah 6:8, he has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, walk humbly with your God. God isn't telling us to do something difficult. The devil tells us it's difficult. But all he wants you to do is walk humbly with your God. Love one another. Walk humbly with God. It's not hard. The devil makes it look hard. We need to break another rock. You guys better get your ears ready. The rock of pride, Proverbs 13:15. Hear ye and give ear and be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turns it into a shadow of death and makes it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Do you know God weeps in secret places because of pride? I'm in Proverbs 13, 15. Okay, and then I went to verse 16. That must be, give glory to the Lord your God. Yes, it's a 16. But I probably went back to Jeremiah, right? Yeah, I did. I got my references all off, but it is the word. Harvey will find it and give you the reference in a minute. Yeah, well, okay. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Jeremiah what? 13, 15, and 16, and 17. And my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Humble yourselves. Sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. Your principalities shall come down. The rulers of your pride shall come down. Pride is the seed of all sin. Pride is the enemy of God. Pride had Satan say, what about me? I want to be worshipped. I look pretty good. I'm beautiful and I sing good and look at me, look at me. Pride also says, I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to be seen, because I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want people to make fun of me. Pride is all you, 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 you. What about me, 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 me? What about me? We need to break the rock of pride. Are you ready? Crush that rock of pride. And when you do, look at the little pieces of where it came from. What are the little pieces of your pride? The defensiveness. Always about you. Pride is always about you. When your conversation starts out to justify yourself, I don't want to, I do want to, but I, pride, 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 pride. Break that rock. Backsliding is a rock. You got a lot of rocks. I hope you brought your earplugs. Backsliding is a rock. What is it? It's going back from the place that God had taken you. You've stepped back from the place God had taken you. Where is the best place you've ever been with God? Where did he take you? What were you doing when you were walking in that place? What was your life like when you were in that place? Were you in the Word, reading it, loving it? Were you in worship, just loving his presence? Were you serving somewhere? And doing what he wanted you to do. If you're not there now, have you stepped back? Did you quit? did you slide back from that place? That's sign language. This is with. You go with him, and then you slide back. You're not with him anymore. Backsliders. They're not with him anymore. Being backslidden is dangerous. And he says, humble yourselves. Sit down. I like that he says, humble yourself, and then he says, sit down. Maybe you can't run back to the place you were. But don't keep going backwards. At least sit down where you're at and give God what you've got. Here I am, God. I don't know how to be there again, but here I am. How do I come back forward? Take me from here and bring me back to the place I was, and then we can go forward from there, even to greater places. But sit down where you're at and confess and repent. Ask God to restore you to the place that you were before you backslid. With that rock of backsliding, Jeremiah 14:7, I hope, says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, and our backslidings are many. Maybe we backslid in a lot of places. I don't read like I did. I don't pray like I did. I don't attend church like I did. I don't witness like I did. I don't love people like I did. Whoa, something's missing in me. I've got a lot of things to look at when I break that rock of backsliding, all the pieces of how and why and where am I really at. From the reading the word, seeking his face, time and prayer, from my call, from my purpose. If we leave the place where God brought us, where did we go? How did we get there? Self-pleasure, laziness, indifference, cold-heartedness. What are we doing instead of what we were doing? What are you doing now in the span of what time span of what you used to do in that place? Jeremiah 15:6, you have forsaken me, says the Lord. You are gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against you. And then 18, where we started. Why is my pain perpetual? Why is my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you be altogether to me, God, like a liar and like waters that fail to quench my thirst? But God's answer is, if you will return, I will bring you again. I will bring you again to the place where you were with me, and you will stand before me, and you will take forth the precious from the vile, and you shall be as my mouth. There is hope, for God is with you to deliver you out of the hand of the wickedness. We could go on with a whole lot of other things. I could just probably find a word for every one of these rocks. I'm going to leave some. You can come and hit them for yourself later. But how about a stubbornness? We have a rock of stubbornness. How about lies and deceitfulness? That one didn't want to break. That was a tough demon, lies and deceitfulness. How about anger, bitterness? How about those secret sins that you entertain that nobody else knows about? How about doubt, depression, quitting, giving up, cold-heartedness? Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled and my heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. How about rebellion? And my heart is faint. I hope that we know where we're at, because verse 21 through 22 is talking about the faint heart. We started in 18, so that was 15, I think. Okay, I don't know where we are, but my heart is faint in verse 21 and 22, whatever that is. We'll let you find that. I cannot believe I didn't get my references down. Wow, what a mess. The Lord desires to deliver us out of the hand of the wicked and redeem us out of the hand of the terrible. Who is the wicked? Who is the terrible? It's the enemy who's against your life. And you know what? He wants rebellion. He wants pride. He wants stubbornness. He wants fear and doubt and anger and bitterness. Those are his weapons. And we're a fool if we let him get away with planting those things in us. Then we are just his little puppet. No, that's not it. Well, let's just go to Psalm 18. Let's get encouraged. Get some encouragement. Because that's kind of hard stuff.
Psalm what?
18, I hope. My brain was just messed up this morning, I guess, on numbers. I don't know what I was doing. Let's make a choice. Let's make a choice. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemy. The Lord is also a rock. I was going to get a huge rock. If I could lift it. I even went outside. I took a real hammer because I wanted to see what it was like to really break a rock because these are just paper. So I took the hammer and went outside this morning and I just started beating on some rocks and watching them crumble and picking up the pieces and looking at them. And then I saw this one big, awesome, beautiful rock. And I said, I'm going to take that rock in to show them God is my rock. This is the rock that does not crumble and break. And he said, no, that rock isn't good enough. So he had me get this rock, and I'll pass it around and let you look at it. But I've had this on my kitchen for years. It's got a little bird with its feet planted in this rock. But this rock is beautiful. It's purple. It's got green. It's got colors. It's got lines. It is just full of beauty. And it's kind of transparent because God is transparent like the big diamond he is, you know. So we can see the reflection. And in the reflection, we would see purple because of the royalty of God. But you can look at this. Plant our feet on the solid rock. Sink our feet right down into the rock of Christ and stand on that. Stand on him because he is the solid rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's going to deliver me out of these things. He is my God. He is my strength. He is your strength. If you take your feet out of that rock, I don't think I can even get these feet out. If you take your feet out of that rock and you start walking in other places, you're weak. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. And all these things are going to come right back into your life. They're going to come right back in. But the word of God is the hammer. I know it was loud. It hurt our ears. But you know what? Sometimes what crushes our rock hurts our ears. It hurts our heart. It hurts our pride. It hurts our feelings. It's not easy to be crushed. But he's not crushing you. He's crushing rocks. He's crushing these rocks that are in you that are preventing your healing. He's crushing them so you can get your healing. He's crushing you so that he can break you open and release the beautiful fragrance of Christ within. Pride prevents that. Pride stinks like dirty socks. And when you're full of pride, we stink like dirty socks. But we have that fragrance of Christ down within. And we have to be crushed so that that can come forth. Pride has to be crushed. Rebellion has to be crushed. Disobedience has to be crushed. Why do we care what people think of us? Why do we care if they like us or don't like us? Why are we afraid of people? They're afraid of us too, because fear is of the devil. He wants to keep us apart. He wants us to fear each other, hide from one another. But God is your strength. God is your strength, and his word is your hammer. And you can't make it without the word, because you'll become weak. You won't even know you have rocks. You know what? I think of these sayings that people say, dumber than a box of rocks. There's the box of rocks. We're pretty dumb if we got a box full of those. People saying, your head is full of rocks. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Bang yourself in the head with some word of God. Crush those rocks. Get rid of them. This morning when I asked the Lord, what do we talk about? And he started telling me, it was like, God, you know, for a long time, inner healing was all about telling people how precious they are, how wonderful they are, who they are in you, what they're born to do. I like that kind of inner healing. Lately, everything God wants to say is repent, 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 because you can't experience that precious love when you're full of chosen, stubborn sin, especially pride. Ask God to take the blinders off your eyes to recognize your own pride. It has so many faces. I mean, it's just a masquerade party. It just comes one way, then the other, and then another, and it says, look at me, don't look at me. I mean, it can just morph into all kinds of things. But ask God to remove your blinders to see your own pride. I know we see everyone else's. That's easy. But ask him to show you your own. You'll be amazed how many times you will see that your words were in pride. And when you do, hammer them with the word of God. Hammer them with the word of God. And you can't do that if you don't know the word of God. Somebody makes you mad and you want to get mad right back, soft answer turns away wrath. Why don't you have a soft answer? Because you were in pride. Your pride wanted to defend you, fight for you. I want pride to be my defender. And we all get trapped by it all the time. Know the word, know the word, know the word. Because the more words you know, the better you can swing that hammer and break those rocks. Father, we just give ourselves to you. We ask you to quicken your word to us this morning. We ask you that you would break some rocks in us today. Because we need the healing. Because we need to return to where we were so you can prepare us to even go further than anywhere we've ever been. We ask you to restore us, God. Restore us to who you created us to be. As we just lay our lives down before you this morning. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you love us as we are, but too much to leave us as we are. Transform us, Lord. Let us see Jesus. Let us see Jesus. Amen. We're going to put on some soaking music.